Well, good morning. My name is Steve Smotherman Jr. I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You may have seen or heard from my father before, Steve Smotherman Sr. He pastors Legacy Church out in New Mexico, and then I work with him and for him. In addition to that, so I'm a pastor on staff, kind of his number two guy, and then I'm also a sports psychologist, so I get to work with a lot of professional and college athletes, high school athletes, companies, and all of that as well. So I get to travel and do quite a bit of those things. I was actually here a couple years ago, probably 3.5, and got to do a mental performance seminar with the staff and some leaders in the church. And so I've been here once before. I didn't preach, but I did do that. So some of you I may have met at that time. If you were around back then and you came to that, you remember because we ate fire and did some other cool stuff with that. Before I get going, though, I want to thank God for your pastors, Pastor Rick and Tina. Pastor Rick is a dear friend of my dad and to me. As Pastor Aaron said, he's in Clovis preaching. Well, that is actually one of our church campuses. We have 9 or 10 of them around the state of New Mexico, and he's preaching at our Clovis campus today. And so we kind of did a swap. He's preaching, helping me out, and I'm preaching for him here. And so that's pretty cool. But Pastor Rick's just a great man. I mean, he's very kind. you know, one of the most selfless pastors and friends I've ever been around, and I really appreciate him. And so can we thank God for Pastor Rick and Tina? They are such a gift to the body of Christ as a whole. And then this service with me, actually two of my uncles are here. They live in Broken Arrow. It's my dad's older two brothers, my Uncle Brian and my Uncle Chris. And so they're here on the front row hanging out with me. So thanks for making the trek up to Claremore to... They're coming to listen to their favorite preacher. I don't know. That's what they told me, and I thought it was pretty cool. So anyway, today we're going to talk about passion versus devotion, right? Because we hear a lot in life, you need to be passionate about this and, you know, do what you're passionate about, and you got to be passionate, which is true. You do need some passion. The problem with passion is that passion is an emotion. And so, you ever done something that you were really passionate about, but then you didn't finish it because the feeling that you started it with left, right? I was passionate. You did it in January. I mean, we're March. You made some New Year's resolutions, and the gym was real cool for 2 weeks, and now we're in March. Some of you, you know, you made a passionate commitment. I'm going to read through the whole Bible this year, and we're in March, and you're probably about and getting close to Leviticus, so we're going to see if you make it through, because Genesis is real cool, Exodus is real cool. We've done that, right? Passion, we make decisions in passion sometimes, and those can be good or bad, right? You get a bunch of young teenage dudes together, and they get excited about something. We get all passionate, and we do it, and it was real dumb, and you ask them, why'd you do it? Well, I don't know, and that's actually the answer, because passion took over, and it's like, I don't really know why we did that. It just seemed really cool at the moment, and then it turns into a disaster, right? And so passion can be good, but it can also be bad, because passion changes. And that goes along with the whole, you need to follow your heart. Well, actually, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? So when the world tells us, follow your heart, is actually dumb. Because our passions change, our heart changes. What they're trying to tell us to do is to follow our emotions. The problem with following our emotions is that's actually a sign of immaturity. Toddlers follow their emotions. Anybody ever had a toddler in here? They want what they want when they want it. And they don't want what you're telling them they want when they don't want it. And there's a moment of passion. Right? Whether it's a fit or a no or something. What's interesting about that is spiritually, a lot of Christians, now I'm talking to the adults, we are actually spiritual toddlers. When we don't feel like we get our way with God, we throw a temper tantrum. Oh, I know, that hurt a little bit. I know. I'm from New Mexico. We don't have a lot of sense, okay? So forgive me. I was actually born in Oklahoma. I was born in Tulsa, so I'm kind of an Okie at heart. I lived here till I was 7, and boomer sooner. So anyway, Pastor Rick likes me for that. My father hates the Sooners. And so anytime OU loses, which has been quite a bit the last few years, let's be real, he texts Pastor Rick, and then Pastor Rick is a lot funnier than all of us. And so he jabs back, but he's like, at least your son's saved. And I'm like, that's right, Pastor Luke, that's right. But we've done it. We've started stuff with passion. We've made a decision for Jesus with passion, right? When we finally made a decision to actually follow Jesus, there was some emotion and passion behind it because we were emotional about what he did for us. And that's good. But passion doesn't sustain us. Only devotion does. Because passion changes. It shifts. It's an emotion. It's a mood, right? It's like motivation. You get real motivated for something, and then all of a sudden, you're not motivated anymore. It happens. And the reason it happens is because it's an emotion. And I tell a lot of the athletes I work with, listen, if you're waiting to be motivated, you're never going to be motivated because motivation follows movement, not the other way around. Right? Like if I start picking up weeds in my front yard and I pick up one, well, naturally what happens, I end up picking up a lot more. Those of us that don't ever pick up our weeds, because we never start doing it. We're waiting to be motivated, and then by the time we're motivated, it's like too much, and then you're like, crud, there's a lot of weeds here. I can't pick them up. But if I just start doing something, right, it's the laws. An object in motion tends to stay in motion, right? And so we have to start to move. And what I really want us to get away from is it's just looking for passion in our relationship with Jesus and actually being devoted in our relationship with Jesus. Because what do you and I do when the emotion wears off? What do we do with these things that we were passionate about and now I don't feel it anymore? Because how many times have you had people say this? Maybe you've said this. You know, I'm just not feeling this anymore. I'm just not feeling church anymore. I'm not feeling this ministry. I've had so many people, man, preacher, I don't really feel like working with, you know, people anymore. I don't feel like coming to church anymore. And I'm like, man, that is the most immature thing you could say. Because what you're telling me is you're led by your emotion, you're not led by your principles. And if you're led by your emotion and not principles, you'll be tossed to and fro everywhere. And then you won't be worth anything to the kingdom of heaven. Because God doesn't need people who are just passionate, he needs people who are devoted. Who say that I'm gonna stick with it even when it sucks. Even when I don't like it. Even when I don't love what the preacher said. Even when somebody wasn't maybe nice to me. At church, I'm gonna, even when I'm not getting my way, because I hear this from people all the time, right? Like, especially with kids. Well, I just don't do kids. Can I say something about that real quick? That's straight from the pit of hell. What? The Bible is all about kids. It says we have to come to the Father with a childlike faith. It actually says if you offend a little one, it's better that you tie a millstone around your neck and cast yourself into the sea. So when people tell me, it's my biggest pet peeve, I don't do kids. Why? Kids are the heartbeat of heaven. And if you don't do kids, you don't have the heart of Jesus. I'm sorry. You know, if you're mad at that, just be mad at me, you know, whatever. But it just bugs me. They're just this nuisance. You're a nuisance to Jesus. That's why he had to die on the cross for you. Man, y'all are so much more awake than first service. This is fantastic. I was saying some of these funny things and no one was laughing. But they told me the message was great. So, hey, they liked me, I guess. But passion versus devotion. And there's a big difference, right? It was God's passion that he created us with. He created us with passion because he wanted a relationship and he created Adam and Eve, right? But once they sinned, if he would have just followed his passions, he would have just destroyed it and called the whole thing and scrapped it. It was his devotion that ended up leading him to save us, though. So his passion led him to create us. His devotion led him to save us. And I know a lot of people are mad at Adam and Eve. I hear people all the time like, man, when I get to heaven, I'm going to talk to Adam and Eve and be like, why did you do this to us? Like, bro, like, if you just wouldn't have let her eat the fruit, woman, listen. No, I'm just kidding. But like, I'm a little unhinged. It's fine. But if you guys just wouldn't have done that, you doomed us all. And here's what I think is going to actually happen, which is going to be hilarious, because I'm going to sit back with heavenly popcorn and watch those conversations happen. Because I feel like all of us that want to go up to Adam and Eve, which I'm not one of, want to go up to them and be like, I can't believe you did this. You doomed us. And they're going to look at you and they're going to say, just like Major Payne, who's the dummy now? They're going to say, you read our story over and over because you started reading the Bible every January for the year. And so you've read Genesis for sure. And they're going to say, you read our story about eating what God told us not to eat, and you read it over and over, and you still kept sinning. They're going to look at us like, who really didn't get the memo? Thank goodness for Jesus and the grace of heaven, right? Because if it wasn't for that, we'd all be doomed. So I'm not going to go to heaven and blame Adam and Eve for anything. I'm just going to be glad I got there. Jesus, thank you for letting me in, because I'm a mess and I need your salvation. I need your grace. I need your mercy. So thank you. But it was God's passion that led him to create us. It was his devotion that led him to save us. Here's the reality. We don't need people who are just passionate. We need people. The kingdom needs people who are devoted. And I'm going to use an acronym today, and it's going to be the word deep. And this is what deep with Jesus looks like. This is what deep in our relationship with God looks like. The first thing that we have to do is we have to be dedicated beyond emotion. Let me give you a definition for passion. Strong, barely controllable emotion, intense desire. The thing about passion is that it's not stable. It comes and it goes. Right, we've all experienced that. I'm passionate one day, I'm not passionate the next. I am unfortunately cursed, and I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. Woo! We're cursed. We're never winning, ever. Every year we're delusional. We're gonna die. Fly Eagles. Fly. Someone was flapping wings at me. That was like flipping me off, man. That wasn't cool. Literally gave me the bird. I think I'm real funny. I don't know. But like some days I'm passionate. And haven't been since Dak Prescott became a quarterback. But and then we overpaid him because that's what we do. But like you're passionate. Like you're watching the game and, you know, you're passionate and then the passion fades. Why? Because it's momentary. Passion is momentary. That's why we have to be careful with our passions, because they can be good or bad, right? We have to control those evil desires sometimes, those passions, those intense desires. And so we don't just need to be passionate, because I hear people all the time, we need to be on fire for God. But then we look at our lives and we're like, man, I'm doing it wrong. Because we think, man, these preachers or people are talking about fire, fire, fire. And it's like, do they really live everyday life like that? And most of the time, no. Because I wake up and I'm grumpy sometimes. Are you? You wake up on the wrong side of the bed, which is your side, right? Like, you wake up sometimes and you have bad days and you have bad emotions and you have bad moments. Someone cuts you off in traffic. You probably are a little passionate and not in a good way. You're a little annoyed with them. I'm going to be driving back to Albuquerque after this, and it's basically I-40 the whole way. And there's going to be semi-truck drivers that drive in the left lane real slow. And I'm not going to be loving it, but I'm not going to do anything crazy because they're bigger than me. You know, you learned that in school years ago, that like sometimes people are just bigger and tougher than you. I know kids now aren't learning that because we've softened everything, but you know, like you can't, that's how you learned. Like I could beat this one up, but this one, maybe not. Right? It happened. And I'm going to be annoyed, but I'm going to control that because I also value life. And I'm going to have my three kids in the car with me. And it's like, he could literally run me off the road. So why am I going to act a fool? So you learn to control your passions. That's what we do as we mature. Now, some people still don't know how to do that. Mostly people in Albuquerque. You probably have seen this on the news because there's always a disaster. We don't have any natural disasters in Albuquerque, but we have some people disasters. And it's fantastic. But I love our city and I love what God has called us to there. But there's a lot of people that operate in life off of passion or just emotion. And the reality is that's an immaturity. So I do sports psychology, right? So I've worked with some UFC fighters. I currently have one that I'm working with now. I got a guy in the PFL. I got a couple PBR bull riders that I'm working with, PRCA guys as well, and just different sports across various things. But there was one UFC fighter that my coach, who taught me how to kind of got me into the mental game years ago, he was his coach. His name was Vitor Belfort, and he's one of the greatest UFC fighters, you know, historically of all time. And Vitor, when they were working together, told him something that I've adopted, and he told him this. He said, listen, children operate off of preferences. Men operate off of principles. What he was saying is children live their life dictated by emotion. those of maturity dictate their life based off of principles. And us, if we're followers of Jesus, should be the principles of God's word, not just our emotion. But too often, because we're looking for passion, we're making emotional spiritual decisions instead of principle-based, biblical-based, God-based decisions. And that's where devotion kicks in. And we have to be dedicated beyond the emotion. Because not every day do you wake up, maybe for you, not for me, do I wake up and there's like a heavenly host of angels singing right when I wake up. Just like a hush comes over and says, oh, and there's like all these angels in my room. It's amazing, guys. Like, I don't know about you, but that doesn't happen for me. I wake up and I'm like, what the heck? Some days I wake up and I'm fired up, ready to go. Some days I wake up and I'm like, I should have went to bed 2 hours earlier the night before. Am I the only one, or do angels just show up and sing to you in the morning? I wake my kids up with singing, and that's not angelic. They're like, Dad, stop. I'm like, bro, we got to get the juice flowing. My mental performance company is called BTJ Performance, Bring the Juice. And so I talk to my kids all the time about if you're juiceful, you're useful. And if you're juiceless, you're useless, right? You've got to bring the juice every day. Whether you're having a good day or a bad day, doesn't matter. I got to give whatever I got that day. So people tell me all the time, well, I can't be dedicated beyond the emotion because I'm only about 50% today. I'm like, cool, well, just give me 100% of the 50% then. I'm having a bad day. Well, make it the best bad day you can. Here's what I also tell people. You're allowed to have a bad day. We've all had them. Anybody had a bad day? If you've not raised your hand, man, you have lived a life or you're lying. One of the two. But I tell people all the time, you can have a bad day. You just can't have two in a row. We got to get competitive. Say, I'm not going to have 2 bad days in a row. I've had a bad day, but I'm not going to have 2 days in a row. This week, I had a couple bad days in a row. I happened to be in the hospital this week for a couple days. It was kind of crazy. So what's funny is I was talking to Pastor Rick, and he's preached in Clovis for us the last couple years. So 2 years ago, he got real sick and he couldn't even talk. So I call him. We're on the phone after he preached there, and he's, hey, Stevie. And I'm like, who is this? And it's, I didn't say Siri. That was crazy. I said, hey, Stevie, but I thought I said Siri, technology. So he says, hey, Stevie. And I'm like, hey, Pastor Rick, what's going on? He's like, man, I got real sick on the drive. This is how I sounded all of the 2 services today. He said, but people got saved, so God did something. Last year he goes, and they had a massive snowstorm in Clovis, so it was him and 10 people in the services. And he's like, man, I feel bad. It's like you wasted me coming out here. And I'm like, no, man, I mean, what are we going to do? So we were joking coming into this year, like, what's going to happen? And I'm like, well, you asked me to preach at your church, so you transferred it to me, and I end up in the hospital Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. And you're like, that's not funny. I'm trying to laugh about it, okay? And I just got real sick. I have some stomach issues, and it flared up real bad, and they ended up hospitalizing me. And so I was in the hospital Tuesday and Wednesday, and then I'm thinking, crud, I'm not going to make it to Claremore, you know, 9.5-hour drive. I'm not going to make it. But by the grace of God, we got here. So apparently, you know, God knew what was going on. But I had some bad days, but I wasn't going to allow that to stop me from doing what God told me to do. I wasn't, because there was a part of me that was like, maybe I'll call Pastor Rick and say, hey, man, I'm not going to make it. I'm not feeling well. I'm not going to drive out there. But I was like, nah, I'm saved, but I'm not soft. Too many saved people are soft people. We're supposed to be saved, not soft. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, read the Bible. Those people were not soft. David cut Goliath's head off. That's pretty awesome. I don't think a soft person is just gonna after he already got him with the stone, and then he's like, watch this, boys. That's saved, not soft. It doesn't mean you don't have weak times, doesn't mean you don't have stuff, but there's gotta be something in us that goes beyond the emotion. Our relationship with Jesus can't just be, I gave my life to Jesus in a moment of passion, and then I don't know what to do the rest of the time. It's like, I got to be devoted to the things of the Word of God. I got to get in my Word every day. And you say, well, I don't have time to read my Word. Man, they got the Bible app, and it has the verse of the day. Just at least read that. Just do something. Because here's what I know. All of us can do something. But too often, we're looking for passion, and we think passion means, man, I got to read my Bible for 10 hours a day, and then I got to intercede for 2 hours. That may not be your gift. And some of us, we may not want you to pray for me. It's Some people I do. Some people I'm like, man, I don't know. Everything you pray for didn't turn out that way. I tell people all the time, if you're sick in the hospital, don't call me. Here's why. My very first time, I was a youth pastor. I was 19 years old. So I'm about to be 38. So I've been preaching for almost 20 years. And this young lady, I didn't even know her, but they knew me and they called and asked if the youth pastors would come pray for her. Something crazy happened. We're not sure internally. And I went to the hospital and prayed over her, anointed her with oil, praying that God would heal her. Within hours after we leave, she passes away. And so I, for years, wouldn't pray for people that were sick because it scarred. I was 19. I was still kind of a kid, right? And I was thinking, man, if I pray for someone, that's like, it took me a minute. Like, does God really heal? And I do believe God healed her because I do believe she received her miracle in heaven where she's actually whole and healthy without sickness. Because see, even if God heals us in the physical here, we're still one day closer to dying than we were the day before. Like we're still in a decaying body because we're not living for this life. We're living for eternity. So it took years though for God to tell me, hey, Stevie, I healed her. Just not the way you thought I was going to heal her. And it was hard. So I do tell people though, I'm 0-for-1. Because I'm still scared to go pray for people in the hospital. I will pray for you, but I'm like, man, God, what's going to happen here? So don't ask me. Just Pastor Rick's got a better gift than I do with that, okay? Ask Pastor Rick, Pastor Aaron, don't ask Stevie. I'm just here, okay? Because it freaked me out a little bit. But also, I have to realize that God did heal her. I had to realize that my passion or my emotion of that moment, kind of being afraid of it, doesn't matter, that I still have to stand on the word of God and believe for miracles and for healing. But again, miracles also happen by going to heaven, where there's no more pain, no more heartache, no more sorrow, no more tear. Like ultimately, that is ultimate healing. And death is sad, and it's sad for us that are still here, right? It hurts, it's painful. Can I tell people, I don't know why I'm saying this, but if you've experienced some loss, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to be hurting. But if they knew Jesus, we can also celebrate. There's a little bit of hope inside of us knowing that we get to see them again. There's a little bit of something in us. See, that's what I say about life. Listen, we all have issues in life. Whether you're with Jesus or you're without Jesus, you're going to have problems. You're going to have issues. Bad stuff is going to happen. The difference is with Jesus, we have hope that tomorrow can be better than today. We have a biblical promise that sorrow may last for the night, but that joy comes in the morning. The joy that doesn't make sense. The peace, the Bible says, that surpasses all understanding. Peace knowing that, hey, it's going to be okay. Hey, this situation is terrible, but I can still make it one more day. I tell people all the time, I just can't make it another day. And I break it down. I say, can you do this for 1 minute? And they're like, yeah, I can do it for a minute. Especially the athletes I work with. Can you do this for 5 minutes? Yeah, I can do it for 5 minutes. Okay, well then do it for 5 minutes. And then after 5 minutes, do it for another 5 minutes because you just proved to yourself that you could do it for 5 minutes. I can't work for this boss any longer. Can you do it for one more minute? Well, yeah. Okay, well then just do it for a minute at a time. 1 minute, okay, next minute. And you know what else? Maybe that boss doesn't like you. Did we ever think of that? Well, I just don't like these people. Well, some people don't like you either. And I'm cool with that. There's some people that do not like me. I used to care. Now I'm like, it's cool. I'll be nice to you. I can get along with pretty much anyone. People that tell me, like, I just can't get along with that person. They're like, how do you get along with them? I'm like, because I just don't care. Like, I can get along with them because it's their personality. It's fine. They needed to talk a lot. I didn't need to talk. It's fine. I'll just sit and, yeah. Listen to your story. It's great. I'm listening, for real. And sometimes I'm dreaming. But I'm like, listen, it's their personality. I don't care. Everyone's got a personality. Some are great. Some aren't great. Not everyone's your cup of tea. Who cares? If we're going to be kingdom people, we just got to get along with people. The Bible literally says that the sign of a believer is their love for one another. Doesn't mean you always like them, because people can hurt you. People can do stuff to you. But if we're going to be spiritually mature, got three words for you. Get over it. More importantly, get over yourself. Because until I'm over myself, I can't love people the way Jesus loved people. See, because it was Jesus' passion that led him to the earth, but it was his devotion to you, even when you and I didn't deserve it, it was his devotion that kept him and led him to the cross. His passion led him here to save us, but then when it came time to do it, it was his devotion that kept him on the cross. It was his devotion that kept him going, because what he had to go through wasn't fun, it wasn't exciting. But Jesus showed us that we have to be dedicated beyond the emotion. The second part of going deep is you got to be dedicated beyond the emotion, then you have to endure through the dry seasons. Let me give you the definition of devotion. Ardently dedicated and loyal, a daily commitment, not a mood. Psalm chapter 63, verses 1 through 11, this is David, King David. And it was actually in a moment when he was in a dry season, he was in the wilderness. And this was basically him praying out his devotion to God. Psalm chapter 63, verse 1 says this, God, you are my God. I eagerly seek you. I thirst for you. My body faints for you in a land that is dry, desolate, and without water. Anybody ever felt like that's where you're at spiritually sometimes? You're just in a place where it's dry, desolate, man, where's God? Okay, this is where David was. So I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength and your glory. My lips will glorify you because your faithful love is better than life. So I will bless you as long as I live. At your name, I will lift up my hands. You satisfy me as with rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I think of you as I lie on my bed, I meditate on you during the night watches. Because you are my helper, I will rejoice in the shadow of your wings. I follow close to you. Your right hand holds on to me. But those who intend to destroy my life will go into the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the power of the sword. They will become a meal for the jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by him will boast, for the mouths of liars will be shut. You know, David is also speaking to us spiritually. The mouth of the liars in your life will be shut. And really, the mouth of the liar is the devil. You know, the one telling you you're not good enough, you've made too many mistakes, you're this, you're that. That's the devil lying to you. I think those are my kids screaming in the green room. My three kids are in there, so apparently they're playing. I'm sorry if you hear them. Yeah. Pastor Aaron, if you tell Trenton, maybe just tell him, maybe. We can work through the distraction. All of a sudden, I'm like, that's my 6-year-old. He's playing monster trucks right now. They went to the first service and they're like, we want to hang in the green room. And I was like, all right, cool, be quiet. Dad's not in there. So they're passionate right now. And I'm so devoted to them that they're going to stay alive. I'm just joking around. But ardently dedicated and loyal. A daily commitment, not a mood. What David was trying to show us in Psalm chapter 63 was even when he was in a dry place and he wasn't feeling it, he said, I'm still devoted to you, God. Can that be said of us? Are we just passionate or are we actually devoted? Passion is moments. We all have moments. And I think sometimes we get confused because we do read the Bible and we've heard the stories and we're hearing these great stories and we're like, man, I need these stories in my life. But can I tell you something? The stories of the Bible are one moment in time. Like, David killed one lion, he killed one bear, he killed Goliath one time. It wasn't like David walked around every day like, ooh, got another giant. It was one time. But we read it and we think, I need that. I need this. It's like, yeah, but there was a moment, and that moment only happened because he was devoted. Opportunity finds those who are ready for the opportunities. You know, luck or whatever, people talk about luck and, you know, whatever, it's woo, mystical. I tell people this all the time. I said, here's what luck is. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. So David just stayed ready because of his devotion. So then he could have moments. But not every day of David's life was him killing a bear with his bare hands. Because he actually also had bad moments that came out of passion. Like with Bathsheba, he goes on the roof, he sees her bathing, passion takes over, he takes her, sleeps with her, has her husband killed, passion. devotion went out the window. He made a bad decision out of passion. So I think we have to let ourselves off the hook sometimes. Your life is not going to be just moment after moment after moment after moment of all these amazing things. Elijah called fire down from heaven, right, when he's going against the prophets of Baal. That was one moment. It wasn't every single day. Because there's other days where Elijah's actually scared in a cave and the birds are bringing him food. Because he's scared and he's like, God, they're killing all of us. And I'm the only one left. That happened just before that, right? Like, these are just moments. And we look like, man, if I'm really following Jesus, I'm going to have these awesome, passionate moments all the time. No, you're not. Because guess what? You're going to use the restroom today. That's not real pretty. Like, you're going to have moments that aren't just glorious and amazing all the time. Because that's real life. Devotion says, I'm just going to acknowledge that God is God as I live my life. And then if an opportunity presents itself, because I'm devoted to God, I'll be able to show up and God will be able to do something with me. That's what devotion is. It's not looking for the moment and the miracle. See, too many Christians are looking for these moments all the time. And that's why we've built a culture in Christianity in America that's all more about worship than they are about word. Why? Because it's becoming a Saul generation, because the music soothes their demons. And if we're not careful, we'll raise up a Saul generation that loves worship more than word, because it does soothe their demons. So what are you talking about? Well, King Saul, when he stopped following God, right, he was being tormented. And so he called David in to play the harp and play music because it made him feel better. We can't chase a feel better. We've got to just be better. Because if you're chasing a feeling, you're never going to find it. It's like Christmas, right? When kids are little and when you were little, Christmas was like this magical thing, right? Some guy maybe shows up with presents or something. Didn't for me, but you know, it for others. And it's this magical thing. But what happens is you grow up and you realize that it's not about the magic for you anymore. But you want to make it a great morning for your kids. We have to be able to do that spiritually. That it's not about us chasing a magical moment. It's about us creating moments for other people. It's about us inviting other people to a moment with Jesus, to a church service where there is going to be beautiful worship, there's going to be great word teach, and then hopefully by the end of that, the Holy Spirit has convicted someone's heart and they give their life to Jesus. When we grow up and we grow into maturity, it's not about my feelings anymore, it's about serving others. That's what Jesus showed us with his life. So we have to be dedicated beyond the emotion, right? We have to endure through dry seasons. Then we have to keep our eyes fixed on the kingdom. Matthew 6:33 tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Can't fall in love, as 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17 essentially tells us, is we can't fall in love with the world or temporary things. We have to keep our eyes on the kingdom. Why? Because passion is often about us. Devotion is about God and the kingdom of heaven. Passion is for me. Devotion is so that I can serve God well, which means I'm going to serve others well. Colossians 3:5 tells us to put to death what is earthly inside of us, passion, evil desires. So we're not chasing passion, we're chasing devotion. And devotion is doing the little things, the boring things, the mundane things on a daily basis, the non-glamorous things. And I think that's what happens for Christians, is we feel defeated because we're not having these crazy moments like the people we've read about in the Bible. And we need to understand those are one-time moments. Samson killed 3,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. One time. It wasn't every day. He pushed down the pillars and killed all those Philistines who hated God and God's people. But he died in that moment too. It was a one-time deal. And I think sometimes we feel defeated, like, well, I'm not seeing this thing that the disciples did or what Jesus did. They did it one time in that moment. It was a moment that happened, but it only happened because of their devotion. It didn't happen because of their passion. It happened because of their devotion, because they were ready for when the need arose they were able to do what God had given them the ability and gifting and calling to do. So can I tell you, don't feel defeated if you feel, because here's what bugs me, because I've heard all the celebrity preachers in America forever, and they preach these sermons that get us all. And then they almost preach it, and we think, they're nothing like me because, man, God must just constantly be talking to them. Because I hear it all the time. You know, the Lord woke me up at 2 a.m. and told me this, and I'm like, dadgum, I'm not saved at all. Because that doesn't happen for me like that. The way I hear the voice of the Lord is just thoughts. I get little thoughts. And if it's a good thought to do something good, that's got to be from God. If it's to serve someone, help someone, or an idea, that's how God speaks to me. And that's how God speaks to us. It's the still small voice. It's the Holy Spirit inside of us with promptings and urgings. Just this. And if it lines up with God's word, then it has to be from God, because the Bible says all good things come from heaven. But I'd hear preachers like, you know, some crazy ones too that are, you know, like, this is happening. I saw one recently, like, hair grow, and I've been trying it, and it's still not. Like, I wish that worked. I'd like all this back. My 12-year-old son, all his sixth-grade buddies, they call me Flashbang. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, because when we walk up behind you, it's like, bang. And I'm like, I'm their basketball coach, so it's like, okay. They think they're real funny. Flashbang, okay. You know what happened when they made fun of the bald dude in the Bible, Elisha? The bears came down and ate him, and I live around mountains. I'm waiting for the bears. I've got issues. It's okay. That's why Jesus came and died. We have to keep our eyes fixed on the kingdom. The last piece is we have to live a purpose-driven life. We have to literally live a life with purpose. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. 1 John 5:3, this is love for God, to obey his commands. So what I want to tell you is you don't need passion for tasks. You need a purpose for people and for God. Passion might have gotten you in and might get you into a relationship with Jesus, but only devotion will keep you and I in a relationship with Jesus. We have to be devoted. We have to be dedicated beyond emotion. We have to endure through the dry seasons. We have to keep our eyes on the kingdom, and we have to live on purpose. That's the deep things of God. That's what it's about, is devotion. Romans 12, 1 and 2, as I close. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So let's be people who are devoted. Let's be transformed. Let's live a life of sacrifice. That's what devotion is. And Jesus showed us that. You know, the Bible says in the book of Romans that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It says the wages of that sin is death. So Jesus came to this earth to live a perfect life, to be the perfect sacrifice, that if we would give our lives to him, we would be saved. He would forgive us of our sins, and heaven could be our eternal destination. The Bible says, Romans 10, 9 and 10, if we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, we'll be saved. But Jesus showed us the difference between passion and devotion towards the end of his life. See, because there was a moment where he's in the Garden of Gethsemane praying right before he's betrayed and turned over to be beaten and hung on the cross. And he's in the garden and he's praying. And as he's praying, the Bible says the moment is so intense that he's sweating blood. And his prayer was this: Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. I don't know what you understand about that, but what Jesus was saying is, I'm not feeling this right now. God, is there another way to save these people other than me going through the torture that I'm about to go through? He wasn't passionate in that moment, but he was so devoted to you and I that the next statement came out of his mouth where he said, but not my will, but yours be done. He showed you the difference between passion and devotion. He wasn't passionate and feeling it in the moment because he knew what he was going through. I mean, he was so stressed out that he's sweating blood. But he said, God, I'm so devoted to what we're doing that if this is the only way, I'll do it because I love these people. I'm devoted to them. I'm not just passionate about them. I'm devoted to them, which means come hell or high water, I'm going to go through it. Come hell or high water, I'm going to stay serving Jesus. And you know what hell or high water might be? Your own mistake. Some of us need to learn to forgive ourselves so that God can actually forgive us. You know, he says, if you don't forgive, he can't forgive you. God's already forgiven. He's not counting your sins against you. So stop letting the devil count them against you. You're not too messed up, too many mistakes for Jesus to forgive. You say, but I've already given my life to Jesus and I still keep making mistakes. You know what the Bible says about the righteous? The sign of the righteous isn't that they don't mess up. It's that they fall, but they get back up. So they just don't stay in their failure. And can I tell some of you something real quick? Quit wearing your past failures as an identity. Your past failure is not your identity. Your identity is found in Jesus. It was a moment, maybe a bad moment. Maybe you did something bad, but quit wearing it as your identity and put on the identity of Jesus. Because too often we're wearing that. But look, I'm this. Look, I've had this. Look, I've done that. Get the identity off and put on the identity of Christ. And that's what Jesus showed us. You don't have to feel it to do it. Just got to be devoted. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me, if you're in here and you say, preacher, I've actually never given my life to Jesus. I've never asked him to come into my life, to forgive me, to give me another chance, to help me. And again, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many mistakes. If you're still breathing, you can give your life to Jesus. And he says he'll forgive you and cleanse you from all your sins and give you another chance, a fresh start. So maybe that's you and you say, preacher, I've never given my life to Jesus and today I want to make that decision. I want to give my life to Jesus. Maybe you're in a place where you say, preacher, I've actually given my life to God before, but I've actually walked away and today I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Maybe you made a passionate decision before, but you've not been following him and you say, today I'm going to redevote my life to Christ. Or maybe you're in a place where you say, preacher, I'm just not sure if I'm right with God. I'm not sure that if I was to leave this earth that I'd be going to heaven and I want to make sure that I don't leave today without being right with God. And I'm not going to call you forward or embarrass you in any way, but if that's you and you're in any one of those three places that says, preacher, would you just include me in your prayer that I could receive Jesus, that I could devote my life, commit my life to Jesus. Right where you're seated, if that's you and you say, preacher, just include me in your prayer, I'm going to ask that you do me a favor and just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with, if there's anybody at all. So as you include me in that prayer, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I see those hands. Thank you, thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand over here. Thank you. I see this hand. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. If you raise your hand, I'm going to ask that you would do me a favor. I'm going to ask that you would repeat this prayer after me aloud so you can hear your own voice. More importantly, I'm going to ask that you believe it in your heart. The Bible says again, Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. So I'm going to ask that you to repeat this prayer after me aloud so you can hear your own voice. Believe it in your heart. For those of you that are in here that Jesus is already your Lord and Savior, if you would also pray this out loud after me in support of those who raise their hand, if everybody would, say, Father, I come to you now seeking salvation. So right now, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord, that you sent him to die on the cross for my sin, and that you raised him from the grave. So Jesus, I give you my life. I ask that you forgive me of my sin and that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Teach me and guide me in all your ways and in all your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.